Take your Bibles, Ezra chapter 4, tonight, just as by way of a review. You remember the Israelites had turned away from God, and God warned them through the prophets that punishment was coming, and they ignored the prophets, and so God punished them with 70 years of exile, first the Babylonians, and then the Medes and the Persians. And when Cyrus came into power, the first king of Persia, he made a decree that we read about in the end of 2 Chronicles and in the book of Ezra, where he said to the Jews that were in captivity now under Persia, that if any of them wanted to go home, they could go home as long as they rebuilt the temple when they went. God had told him to do that. He did it. And then he said to the Jews that didn't want to go back home, if you don't go, help those that do go. With your gold and your silver and your good and your beast. And we talked about Zerubbabel, a man that led a remnant, about 50,000, only 50,000 of the Jews back to Israel. Many of them settled in their hometowns, and then they gathered together in Jerusalem to put the altar up and to start reconstruction of the temple. Chapter 2 of Ezra lists the families that came back with Zerubbabel. And again, the first thing they did was to build the altar and offer the burnt offerings that God had commanded the Jews through Moses to offer, not the daily offerings, the special offerings, the feast, everything that God had told the Jews to do to worship him, they did according to the law of Moses. And then last week we talked about them laying the foundation of the temple, how they celebrated with song. And shout and music and instruments, and there were some people that cried because they had seen the original temple, and now they were relaying the foundation of that temple to rebuild it. So we start in verse 1 of chapter 4 tonight, where the Bible says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel," and we'll talk about in verse 2 what they did when they heard that, but these adversaries were of two types. One type were the people around Jerusalem, who for the past 70 years had free reign over the city and over the Jews that remained that didn't go into captivity. There was no walls to protect the city. And so they had freedom to come in and to rob and to take at will whatever the Jews had. But their adversaries also included the spiritual adversaries, Satan and his demons. These people were doing the work of God. God's the one that wanted the temple rebuilt. That's why he gave Cyrus the message that he gave him. That's why he put on these people's heart to go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. So it was God's work. And God would bless. And it was only a matter of time before God's blessing would show up, not only in the rebuilt temple, but in the rebuilding of the walls, which not only the people around Jerusalem did not want to happen, but Satan and the demons from hell did not want Jerusalem, the temple, the walls rebuilt. Anytime God's people set to work for him, there's always going to be adversaries. There's always going to be foes. Some of them will be other people. Some of them will be spiritual adversaries. They both want to stop the work of God. And so just know, as you work for God, there's going to be people that are against you. There's going to be people that will try to stop your work. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says it best. "For we wrestle not," and I'm going to add the word "only." I know you're not supposed to add words to the scripture, but just to make the point tonight. "For we wrestle not only against flesh and blood," because we will wrestle against flesh and blood, "but we also wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Anytime God's people do God's work, they will wrestle with those two adversaries. Now, the adversaries tried to stop the Jews from rebuilding the temple in three ways. First of all, they tried to stop the work by an unholy union. Look at verse 2. Then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God, as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. They said, hey, we want to help you. We want to build the walls with you. I'm sorry, we want to rebuild the temple with you. They did the same thing to Nehemiah, by the way, when he came. They said, we seek the same God. We're seeking the same God. And we want to sacrifice to him just like you do. Of course, they were lying. They just wanted to infiltrate the ranks of the people that were rebuilding the temple so that they could hinder the work. And so they tried to stop it with an unholy alliance. They tried to stop it by open hindrance. Look at verse 4. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. And so they did whatever they could, again, to stop the rebuilding of the temple. Maybe they would put garbage on where the people were trying to clear it off. Maybe they stole their building materials. Maybe they feigned an attack. They did various things physically to try to get them to stop rebuilding the temple. And then the third way they tried to stop it was by misrepresentation. Okay, look at verse 5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now, that's the way Satan always works. He always uses those three techniques to try to stop the work of God. He would use it years later with Nehemiah. When Nehemiah came back to build the walls, people around said, well, we want to help. Yeah, because we have the same purpose, the same cause, the same aim that you do. And Nehemiah knew they were lying. No, you don't. You don't want the walls rebuilt. You want free reign to come into our city. So they tried to join the workforce. They threatened to attack physically. Remember, Nehemiah had to arm the workers. They had held a trowel with one hand and a spear in the other, because the people around Jerusalem threatened physical attack against the people that were rebuilding the wall. And then they misrepresented Nehemiah. They sent word back to Persia, hey, this guy wants to rebuild the wall because he wants to be king. He's not going to come back. He's not going to be a loyal subject of you. He wants to be king. And so they misrepresented him. Now, Satan hasn't changed. He may use different tools today to get the word out, but the strategy at its basic form is the same. There are many unholy unions that are formed today that are formed to try to stop the work of God. And here's the message. The message is, hey, we all need to get along. I mean, we just need to get along Let's not focus on what divides us. Let's focus on what we have in common. And here's what they say. We can all agree that God is love. We can all agree that God wants us to love him. And we can all agree that God wants us to love other people. And in theory, that sounds good. I mean, yes, God loves us. We should love God. We should love other people. And so let's not focus on the things that might separate us. Let's just focus on the things that will bring us together. But the people that said, hey, we ought to get along to get along, they don't believe that the Bible is the whole and only Word of God. They leave parts out. They add parts to it. They don't believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's other ways in their mind to get to heaven. And they don't believe, and I'm just giving you a few examples, they don't believe that God calls his people, his children, to live holy lives. They don't believe that. And if we're not careful, we'll compromise under the banner of God's love and we'll throw out the doctrines of our faith that lay the foundation of what we believe. We should never form a union with somebody that doesn't believe that you can get to heaven another way other than Jesus Christ. whatever we form the union around pales in comparison to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Satan works the same way today. They'll try to make unions with us. And as people of God, we ought always to say, no compromise. No compromise. That's what Zerubbabel said. Look at verse 3. Go back and look at verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, had commanded us. That means Zerubbabel was very direct. You don't have the same aim that we do. We want to rebuild the temple so that we can worship our God. You don't want to worship our God. You don't love our God. And so he said, We don't need your help. We are not going to compromise. We are not going to get along. That's what he was saying. And neither should we. I mean, yes, God's a God of love, and he wants us to love each other, and he wants us to love him, but the Bible is the word of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven, and God expects his people to live like his people. So, no compromise. Today, Satan does the same thing. He tries to weaken our hand and trouble us in our building. Now, again, he'll put obstacles in the way. And he'll bring different things into the work that you're trying to do for God to try to get you to stop. And when it happens, we just need to knuckle down, grit our teeth, and keep on keeping on, again, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the promises from the Word of God. And then he'll try to do the... And by the way, God, some of those promises, God says that he'll never leave us or forsake us, that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And God never promised, listen, he never promised that his work would be easy. He never promised that working for him would be problem-free. But again, he promises to never leave us. He promises that we can do all things together. And so, again, the third step, when the first two didn't work, is they hired counselors against the Jews to frustrate, the Bible says, their purpose. Now, here's what the counselors did. They wrote letters back to the Persian king. Verse 6, and in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Ahasuerus was the king that followed Cyrus. He was the second king of Persia. They did the same thing to the next king, Artaxias, verse 7. And in the days of Artaxias, wrote Bishlam, Mithridam, Tabtreat, and the rest of their companions unto Artaxias, king of Persia, and the writing of the letter was written in the Syrian tongue and interpreted in the Syrian tongue. And so they wrote accusations against the people that were rebuilding the temple. Now, look at verse 11. I just want to read what they wrote. This is a copy of the letter that they sent unto him, even unto Artaxias the king. Thy servants, the men on this side of the river, and at such a time, be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come unto Jerusalem, building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof. They hadn't done that yet. And join the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the wall set up again, then will they not pay toll, tribute, and custom, and so thou shalt damage the revenue of the kings. Now because we have maintenance from the king's palace, and it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor, therefore have we sent and certified the king, that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers, so that thou find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. We certify the king that if this city be builded again, and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side the river. So here's the gist of what they wrote. The people are rebuilding the city. In the past, this city, Jerusalem, has been a rebellious city. If the city is rebuilt, and if the walls are rebuilt, they won't pay toll, tribute, or custom. It will reduce the revenue that Persia is taking in by way of those taxes. We don't want to see you as the current king of Persia dishonored. That's why we're writing. If you don't believe us, search the records and see what kind of city this has been in the past. And so Artaxias made the search and found out that what they said was true. Here's what he said in verse 20. There have been mighty kings also over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river, and toil, tribute, and custom was paid unto them. Hey, this used to be a ruling city, and we paid taxes to them. And so based on what the counselors wrote against the Israelites, and based on what he found in the history books, he issued an order and said, stop the work. Stop the work of rebuilding the temple. Look at verse 21 and 22. Give ye now commandments to cause these men to cease, and that the city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that ye fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now, when the copy of King Artaxias' letter was read before Rehum and Shushan the scribe and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So they stopped the work, of rebuilding the temple. And again, Darius was the king of Persia after Artaxias, so the work stopped for about 2 years. And the people got discouraged. And it wasn't until God sent the prophets Haggai and Zechariah that the work started back up. And when the work started back up, I'll just give you a little preview. The people around Jerusalem wrote to the king Darius and gave him the same story that they'd given Artaxias. And Darius went back and searched the history too. But he found Cyrus's decree. And see, he wrote a letter back and said, hey, not only leave the people alone and let them get back to building the temple, but give them what they need to build it. And so the work started again. Now, so, in the work of God, disappointments will come. In the work of God, setbacks will come. Even when people are faithfully serving God, even when people are faithfully doing the things that God has called them to do. And we ask the question, why is that? Why would God, if we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're doing God's work, then why would he let adversaries come against us? Why would he let setbacks? Why would he on occasion let the work stop? Why would he let a discouragement come to his people? And the answer is very simple. It's in times of testing when we grow spiritually. It's in times of testing that our faith increases. If things were always easy, if we never had any pushback from adversaries that tried to stop the work of God, if we never had any setbacks, if we never had any disappointments, two things would happen. Okay? Number one, we would never get stronger. We never get stronger. How does a weightlifter build his muscle so that he can lift heavier weights? He struggles to lift heavier weights. That's how he builds his muscle. How does a runner build his stamina to run a longer distance? He struggles to run longer distances. That's how strength that's how strength comes. When we struggle against the next level, when we struggle against the next step, we're only going to grow spiritually when we are tested. Amen. You're not going to grow spiritually when you're living on the mountaintop and everything's going good. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you'll be happy, but you won't grow. We'll only grow spiritually if we face difficulties. We'll only grow spiritually if we go through deeper valleys. We'll only grow spiritually if we have to climb higher mountains. Our faith will only grow when it's tested. Okay? So if you're doing the work of God and you're being faithful in the work of God and you've run into somebody that's against you, don't think that God's taking his hand of blessings off of you. He's actually put his hands of blessings on you because he wants to give you an opportunity for your faith to grow. He wants to give you an opportunity for you to get stronger as a Christian. Okay? So many times when opposition comes, too many Christians want to just quit. That's not the time to quit. That's the time to rub our hands together and say, "Thank you, Lord. Now you've given me an opportunity to grow." The second thing that happens when everything is easy is we quit depending on God. And again, it sort of goes along with the first, because for your faith to grow, you got to depend on God. But I wanted to make a separate point. When everything is easy and we have no difficulties, we get to the point where we think, "God, I can handle this on my own. I don't need you anymore. I've got it from here." And if things were always easy, that's how most of us would react. I can handle it on our own. And the tough times come, and the difficulties come, and the times of testing comes to remind us that we always need God. We can't do his work without his help. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. So, if you're doing the work of God, realize you're going to have people that's going to be against you. And you're going to have spiritual enemies that will be against you. Because there are people and there are spiritual beings that want the work of God stopped. We need to say, no compromise. And when the hard times come, we just need to keep trusting God that he's going to give us what we need to keep the work going. We just need to trust him. That's how we get stronger. That's how our faith grows during those times of testing. All right, we'll quit there for tonight. Next week we'll start chapter 5, where the prophets come and remind the people that they have a job to do. Men will be praying back in the library. I invite you to join us back there if you would. The ladies will be praying over here and over here, two different spots. So if you'd like to join them, you can join them in either spot. But thank you for being here tonight.